are going to speak well of you. That's a great place to live. You want to live there. You want to live at the place where the devil's talking good about you, where the demons are saying, oh, don't go down that block. That's where that one lives. And my goodness, they've got something going on in the Holy Ghost. And there's angels encamped around about that place. And Spirit of God comes down on there. And every time I try to go there, I get booted out. And it's just not worth your trouble. I want you to know you can live in that kind of place. There's an emphasis on prophecy here. In the Old Testament, we follow the lineage and the development of the prophetic, and it's an interesting thing when we draw the corollaries with the New Testament. Enoch was a prophet of God. We don't know that. There are only like three tiny little portions that speak of Enoch, but Jude tells us that Enoch prophesied, saying, the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints. And he lived and he prophesied before the flood. And so there's always been prophecy. And prophecy is this utterance that is born of and delivered by the Holy Ghost. And it was that way with Enoch. And it's that way with all of the prophets throughout the Old Testament. We find out in that little exchange in Gerar with Abimelech in Genesis 20 that prophet Abraham prayed for Abimelech's family. God said, this man is a prophet, and he's going to pray for you that you'll be healed, because all of them were dying because of a transgression against Sarah in that 20th chapter. But Abraham was a prophet, and Moses was a prophet, and you'll notice he spoke every plague into existence. He went to Pharaoh, and he said, this is what will happen. He said, you got to let my people go, and he spoke it. And as he spoke it, it took shape in the earth. And that's one of the dominant characteristics of prophecy. It's where you speak forth. It's as real as Genesis chapter 1. And God said, and light came out of darkness, and order came out of chaos. And you are made in the image of God, and you can speak forth. And when you speak forth what God has said, you can bring light out of darkness. How else do you think you'll be the light of the world? And you can bring forth order out of chaos. Is anybody living in a house full of order? But you yourself, you came out of chaos. How did that happen? It happened because the power of God was moving in your life. And you spoke some things, and God brought them into reality. Samuel, in these recent chapters, he prophesied and he caused it to thunder on the Philistines. You talk about a mighty thunder, the Bible talks about. And Elijah prayed and shut the heavens. And then he spoke again and the heavens were opened. And he opened his mouth and he called down fire out of heaven. And Elisha, his protege, is filled with the same supernatural power and opens up the Jordan River by spoken word. And then he pronounces, and the woman, the little widow woman that sustained him, her barrel of meal never went empty and her cruse of oil never went dry. And prophecy creates provision in a time of famine and drought. I'm telling you, prophecy can suspend natural law, and prophecy can open the windows of heaven, and prophecy can change the outcome from the trajectory that you might be seeing right now, because God can lay his hand on it. All he needs is somebody that will pray or someone that will prophesy. And we get a corollary with the New Testament, with Moses and the elders of Israel down in Numbers chapter 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee, and I will take of the Spirit that is on thee and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee. Thou shalt not bear it alone by thyself. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake to him and took the spirit that was on him and gave it to the 70 elders. Now this is the Spirit of God coming on the 70, but it's the Spirit of God that is mediated by Moses, the man, the ministry, the prophetship of Moses. And he gives it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out into the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. So when the Spirit of God comes on these, there is this utterance that is associated with the infilling or the onfilling of the Spirit of God. There's quite a little theological debate about all of that, but I'm just telling you, these people had the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament. The difference was it was only for a select few, and it was not salvific in nature per se. It was mostly vocational in nature. And in the New Testament, it is for everyone, and it is both salvific and vocational, which means it anoints you for the work God's called you for, and it anoints you for your craft and your skill, but it also is being born of the Spirit, which Jesus rendered a prerequisite to entering into the kingdom. And so here the 70 of Israel are filled with the Spirit, and they begin to prophesy. Everybody say they prophesied. And so, and it's the plan that is like, that's a little microcosm, and that's like a little harbinger of what is to come. But God has a desire to pour out His Spirit on everybody. Now, you got to get this. God's vision is universal. God died for everybody. God wants everybody to come into the kingdom. God wants everybody to be filled with the Holy Ghost. God wants everybody to go free, and God's made provision for all of those things to happen. Yes, He has. And He wants to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And He says, your sons and your daughters. If you ever figure this out, Jeff, it would be great. I've preached in third world settings before, but I can do it tonight, but it sure is nice to have something up here. I know it sounds loud where you are, but we usually compressing my head right here, and we're not doing that right now. And it came to pass afterward that I will pour out, this is Joel 2, I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and on the handmaidens in those days I will pour out of my Spirit. So here is a prophecy about the fact that God's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Everybody say all flesh. And He said, your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy, because that is the characteristic signal of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It is prophecy. And it was that in the Old Testament, and it is that today. And upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my Spirit. So I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Just somebody say, we shall prophesy. If you've got the Holy Ghost and you talked in tongues, I want to tell you, you have already prophesied. And if you talked in tongues here tonight, you were in fact prophesying. And if you preached a little sermonette to somebody in your house or on the job, you were prophesying there, because it's simply a speaking forth, and there are different versions of it. And if you've taught a Bible study, you have prophesied. And if you prayed for somebody and pronounced the will of God for their life, you have prophesied. Let's stop and clap our hands and thank God for the anointing and for the blessing and for the infilling and for the privilege. And Joel chapter 2 is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. We know that because Peter tells us that it is in fact so. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were singing about that. tonight. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Now I want you to know, they were speaking in other tongues. They were prophesying. Somebody say praise the Lord. And as the Spirit gave them the utterance, so now, like the 70 of Moses, now the Spirit of God came upon this 120, and there was an utterance associated with that, and they began to speak in tongues. But I'll tell you, they were prophesying, because that's what Joel said. He said, I'm going to fill them with my Spirit, and your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. You know what they're doing in Acts 2? They're speaking in tongues, and they are prophesying. Now, on down in the book of Acts, in chapter 8, 10, and 19, you're going to find that they receive the Holy Ghost and they speak in tongues, but twice it says, and they prophesied. I just want you to know and understand that that when they're speaking in tongues and when you're speaking in tongues, you are in fact prophesying. You are in fact the vessel of God. And you know how God showed up in Genesis 1 and he began to say things and those things began to happen. You know what's happening in your life? Paul said, he that shined the light in the creation has shined the light in our hearts, and he is now speaking in you just like he spoke in that creative act, and he is speaking forth creative things in you and in your home and in your city and in your school and in your place of work. And I want you to know something. When Paul tells you, I thank my God I talk in tongues more than you all. In 1 Corinthians 14, he is standing in Corinth. And Corinth is a bunch of new converts, freshly out of the paganism of the Hellenistic culture. And they are, he said, you guys come together and you've got a prophecy and you've got a word and you've got a tongue and you've got a, and he said, you're just running over one another. And he wasn't complaining about their manifesting the gifts and the fruit and the anointing of the Spirit. He was just saying, at some point, you got to have an intelligible conversation so that somebody can be one to God. So he says, somebody somewhere needs to be able to speak to these people. He said, and so prophecy, preaching in that regard, he said, is going to be really, really important for you. So he begins to establish some rules and some guidelines for them. But one of the things that he tells them, he said, now don't get the wrong idea. I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Let me tell you something about that part of your spiritual experience. That doesn't simply need to mark the day you got the Holy Ghost and then you walk away and you never have that happen again. That doesn't need to be some sporadic thing that comes on you every now and then outside of your will and outside of your purpose. That needs to be something that you intentionally and with purpose engage in every day of your life. You need to be a tongue talker. You need to talk in tongues in the morning. You need to talk in tongues while you're blessing your meal. You need to talk in tongues when you go to bed at night. You need to talk in tongues in the church. Praise God. I appreciate our media team. Most of the time, you don't even know they're there. They do such outstanding works. They never have a glitch. They never have a problem. It runs smoother than a Singer sewing machine. It runs so great. And so this is an anomaly. This is something that doesn't really matter. But if they can fix it, I really am going to appreciate it. You just got to know what I'm talking about. So, Acts chapter 2, they received the Holy Ghost. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, the people in the street heard the commotion, and they were asking questions. What is this? How is this? What is going on here? And he said, Be this known to you. Hearken to my words. These are not drunk as you suppose. Some of them have said these people are drunk because, and let me tell you, if they thought they were drunk, they didn't just see them sitting there with their hands folded and a little peaceful smile on their face. They were acting like drunks. They were acting uproarious. They were acting all energized. They were looking like they had been hitting something. Well, they had been hitting something, but it wasn't earthly spirits. It was God's spirit, and they were full of that. Matter of fact, Paul would teach later. He said, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, I've had both, and this is better. I've had both, and this is better. I'm not going to have any trouble driving home tonight. I'm not going to have any trouble waking up in the morning. I'm not going to have to wonder about what I did and when I did it and with whom I did it. I'm not going to have to worry about anything because God in His Spirit, He's working for my good. Somebody say amen. Tell your neighbor, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Get drunk on the Holy Ghost. Touch them a little and say, you need to prophesy. You need to talk in tongues more than anybody around you. He said, they're not drunk this 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. It'll come to pass in the last days, saith God. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men dream dreams. They're going to be awash in the presence of God and in the moving of the supernatural and the gifts of God. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. We're talking about something that is woven throughout the experience of the Old Testament prophets. It makes its announcement boldly into the New Testament, and it's a part of apostolic life and culture. And I want you to understand, it was never intended that talking in tongues would be a little punctuation on the end of your prayer, that it would be a little punctuation on the excitement of your worship. But rather, talking in tongues is when you step out at Naoth and Ramah and you say, I've got something on my trail that's trying to take my family down, but I'm going to prophesy here. Ah. You need to be a prophet, and you need to prophesy, and you need to be intentional about it, and purposed about it, and proactive about it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. My God, why don't we just stop, clap our hands, and talk in tongues a little bit right now. People look for answers all over the place. People seek and try to find an answer every place they can look. But I just want you to know that is so sweet, Eddie. You are my hero. I love you guys. Y'all are so good to me. Praise God. But when you prophesy, when you know what they were doing? This was like a school of the prophets. It's an interesting thing. David went there, but Samuel and the guys were already in that area. And they were already there. And they were prophesying, and Samuel was standing over against them, and they were all prophesying. You say, what are they doing? It is a school. They are practicing. They are learning the ways of the Spirit. They are moving. They're way out in the desert. They don't need to be in a big city. They don't need attention and news coverage. That's not the kind of business they're doing. Because what they do, it can radiate to any place on the globe. And it can move on anybody in any city. They don't need all of that distraction. They need, and I'll tell you this, you need a place sometimes when you can just get off by yourself and get out of the craziness and get out of the crowd and just get yourself a little spot and begin to talk in tongues and begin to prophesy and know that God is speaking through you to the good of those around you and to the good of the kingdom and to your good and for your family. Does anybody know that and believe that? Praise God. If I had money problems, I would be prophesying. If I had people problems, I would be prophesying. If I had physical problems, I'd be prophesying more than I'd be talking to my neighbors. I'd sure be prophesying more than I spent time on social media. Social media never healed anybody, but prophecy can. Social media never touched your neighbor for God, but prophecy can. Social media never did anything for your finances, but prophecy can. Social media is a diversion and an escape, but you need to be the bearers, the prophets of God. So they're there and they're practicing. And they're walking up and down in it. It's like that classic phrase with God and Abraham and the land of promise. And he said, now I want you to look east, west, north, and south. I want you to see it all. Take it in. And he said, now I want you to walk up and down in it. Because there's just something about it. If you're gonna possess it, you've got to walk up and down in it. If you're gonna possess it, you've gotta be familiar with it. And it's just ground like any other ground, isn't it? No. This is ground that God just gave you. And it's the ground of the promise, and it's the place where miracles are gonna break loose and the drama of God's redemptive plan is going to unfold. There's no other ground like this. And I want you to know there is no other place like your prayer place and your prophecy place and your worship place and your experience in church. And you need to walk up and down in it. And you need to practice it. You need to be more familiar with tongue talking than you are with any gadget and in any digital domain and anything that you're doing for recreation or pleasure. You need to know more about talking in tongues than you do about deer hunting or fishing. And there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but you need to know more about talking in tongues. You need to get out. And it doesn't just need to be some sporadic little thing that hits you every now and then. It doesn't need to be something God does to you. It needs to be something that you release, because it's in you. Prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. So they came together, and Peter quotes from Joel chapter 2. The multitude came together, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we then every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And there's a list there of about 13 different nationalities. It ends with Cretans and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So sometimes when you're praying in tongues, you're lauding God. You're praising God, but you're also announcing what God is and who God is and how he's able and what he's done and what he can do. And you're serving notice on every belligerent spirit around you. And you're serving notice on the prince of the city. And you're serving notice over every demon and every devil that has your life targeted and wants to come and effect some mayhem in your life. I want you to know, when you are talking in tongues, you're just talking about how great your God is, and it really drives the enemy batty. And so it's praise and it's proclamation and it's a type of prophecy, and it's speaking forth, and implicitly it's by the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to understand, speaking forth and the creation act brought forth everything in the natural world. So everything in the natural world is responsive to prophecy, responsive to the Spirit, and responsive to the Word. And in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel had been fasting for 3 weeks, and it was a Daniel fast. He said, I didn't eat pleasant bread, no honey buns, and I didn't eat flesh or wine, and I didn't anoint myself at all. And he said, in the 24th day of the first month, I was down by the river, and he's going to get a visitation from Gabriel, and he knows Gabriel, and they've spoken before. And he said unto me, O man, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling, and he said, don't fear, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard. Sometimes you're praying and you think that you're not being heard because there's not an immediate answer. But let me tell you about the dynamics of prayer. That's why Jesus teaches in Luke 11, when you start knocking on the door of prayer, don't stop, don't stop. There's an answer behind that door. And in Luke 19, the woman and the unjust judge, keep coming, keep coming, keep asking, keep knocking, because God's going to open that door to you. But in this story, you need to see and understand. He said, Daniel, we heard you the first day you set your heart to understand. The first day you began to chasten yourself. Your words were heard. Everybody say, my words are heard. God hears your prayer. God hears your prayer. I'm talking directly to somebody right now that you don't think God's been listening to you, and the devil's told you that God's not listening to you. But I want you to know your words are heard, and God has collected your tears in a bottle, and God knows exactly where you're standing, and God's got an answer coming to you. Don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. There's a lot of things in the mix. There's a lot of things that are moving. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, the demon prince over the empire of Persia, withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I'm come to make you understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for the vision is for many days. He said, Daniel, you were praying here, and I was fighting that guy, who is apparently a fallen archangel, because that's what Gideon is. Gideon's an archangel, and that prince of Persia withstood him. He has to be a fallen archangel. And so they are just at it up there, and they're at it because of the prayers of that little man, Daniel, down on the deck. And Daniel keeps praying, and then Michael, the prince of Israel, comes, and he helps him, and they double team him. I'm glad there are more that are with us than they that are with them. It's an interesting presentation there in the scripture. It seems like a third of the angels fell with Satan, but that leaves two-thirds of the angel that are still there to war for you and answer you and help you and minister to you. That's right. That's what the servant of the prophet said. He said, there are more that are with us than those that are against us. And so the proposition here is, as long as Daniel continued to pray, there was this heavenly response and a heavenly intervention, and it was coming. It just took some time, and it took some energy, and the man on the ground continued to pray. In Romans chapter 8, likewise the Spirit helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's God praying in you. That's God prophesying prophesying in you. You don't know what's coming up next Thursday, but he does. You don't know what's coming on in the next season at your work, but he does. You don't have any idea about what's about to transpire or what's warring against you, but he does. And sometimes God lets us pray, and we pray for our homes and our families and all of the things in the punch list in the Lord's Prayer, the outline for prayer. But then there's a time when we shift gears, and now we're talking in tongues, and now God is praying through us. And we want to let God pray because he knows more about what needs to happen than I do. I want to let God pray because he's got power to intervene and change things. I don't have any power at all. My power is in loosing what God has established in my life. And that's your power. But my, you've got this. You've got this awesome power that's down on the inside of you. I think one of the saddest things in retrospect when we stand on the other side will be how little of what God has made available to his church that his church has actually used. What God has given you can change the course of a nation, can change the shape of a city, can change the trajectory of revival. What God has given you is able to bring light into dark places and order into chaos, and all he needs you to do is loose what he's placed within you. Somebody say praise God. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, David joins himself to this school of the prophets. He's got a problem. He's got a king, a murderous, homicidal king that's after him, and he's joined himself and brought his problem to a place where there is this atmosphere created by prophecy and by prayer. And I, you know what we're doing around here tonight? We're worshiping God and we're praising God, but we're doing a lot of heavenly business here. And we're stirring up things in the scripture. You say, well, what exactly are you doing? I don't know, but there's a rope over here and I'm going to pull it. There's a wheel over here, and I'm going to turn it. What does it open? I don't know, but it's in the Holy Ghost. Here's a trap door right here. I'm going to open that and see what comes out of there. There's all kinds of things. I'm a child in a playhouse full of awesome things that God has made available to his church. And it's chest full of treasure here. And it's a piece of heavy artillery over here. And it's an answer to someone's most desperate need over there. And it's healing over here. And all I've got to do is loose what God has placed down inside of me. I want you just for one second here. Lift up your hands. I want you to begin to talk in tongues right now. And practice that and let that Holy Ghost. But when you do, I want you to begin to do it with some exclamation to it. I want you to begin to do it with some energy. Prophesy a little bit. Let that flow through you and talk about it like it's the most important thing in the world. Let it flow. Let it move. Give it some energy. Give it some voice. Give it some volume. Come on, when you're doing that, you're loosing miracles. Come on, when you're doing that, you're overwhelming your enemy. Come on, when you're doing that, you're practicing walking up and down in it. And you're going to gain some expertise in the spirit. And you're going to be a conqueror in all these things. Come on, loose that. Let that flow through your vessel. Somebody needs to begin to sing in tongues right now. Just let that flow through you. You say, well, how do I do that? Just give it a melody. Just let it rip. Just give it a melody. Just let it go. God's the one talking. It's going to be fine. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Sam, Lindsay, somebody come. Help me. Praise God. Praise God. David said, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. We have access tonight. And when you begin to prophesy, you open a portal and things begin to move in and out of this realm from a heavenly realm. The streams of God begin to flow. The strength of God begins to flow. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. How do we tap into that light? How do we tap into that salvation? How do we tap into the strength of our lives? And he talks about how his enemies come, but they stumble and fall. And oh, this is reminiscent of that day at Naoth when his enemies came and they were coming to take him, but they fell on their faces and God subdued them. Ah, I know some of you are struggling in some areas tonight, but if you'll get a hold of this and you'll begin to be a tongue talker and a praiser and a prophesier, I just want you to know and understand God can overcome your enemy just like he overcame Saul and those messengers in that day. I want you to know this is not just an Old Testament manifestation, and it's not just for Samuel, and it's not just for David, but Joel said, my sons and my daughters are going to prophesy. Everybody that comes to God and gets filled with the Holy Ghost is going to be able to walk in prophecy. David said, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Well, David had a physical temple, and it was the tabernacle of old. And then David built his own tabernacle of David, which was really a kind of a revised edition, iteration. And it was a tabernacle that was really devoted to praise and the moving of the Spirit. We don't know a lot about it, but it was a different tabernacle than the one that Moses had built. And then there was that temple of Solomon. But we read something like this and you think that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. But when we get to the New Testament, you need to know and understand, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You got the temple with you every day, everywhere, all. It's with you all the time. You are the temple. So what does it mean? And I'll seek after it, and I'll dwell in the house, and I'll behold the beauty of the Lord, and I'll inquire in his temple. It's when I shut down everything else and I begin to commune with him in the Spirit, and I let God begin to pray through me, and I begin to praise and magnify him. And all that beauty that was in the temple of Solomon, there is nothing there that compares. I want you to know, Jesus told him, a greater than Solomon is in this place. Tonight I want you to know, a greater than Solomon is in this place. He said, a greater than the temple is in this place. I want you to know, a greater than Solomon's temple. Say, well, what is that? That's you. That's your experience. That's that Holy Ghost that God has placed down on the inside of you. I want to spend some time beholding his beauty. I tell you, I love coming to church, and I love going to prayer. I love handling his word, and I love when God starts talking. I love the worship of the people of God, and I love what we're doing right now. I'm just telling you, we're beholding the beauty of the Lord, and we're inquiring in his temple. Hey, God, since we're here and we're communing, what you gonna do about that? And what are you gonna do about this? And what's the answer to this over here? And God is whispering in this service right now. God's whispering to somebody's heart, and he's giving you some answers, and he's telling you right now how it's gonna be and what he wants to do in your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He'll set me up upon a rock. Now, David was at a place called Naoth. And I don't know where you're going to be when you next begin to have this encounter with God in your life. But I want you to know that when you begin to pray and speak in tongues and prophesy and worship, that is the tabernacle experience. And that is his pavilion. And that is going to be the secret of the tabernacle that he's going to hide you in. And he's going to set you on a rock. You need to know all of this is applicable to you. When you begin to stand and testify, you begin to stand and prophesy, all of this is relevant to your experience tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Now, a lot of our guys in World War II and in conflicts after that have taken this passage into battle with them. But I want you to just repeat after me, if you would. I want you, if you could, just close your eyes, lift your hands, and say, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. My God, I want you to know you're in that secret place of the Most High tonight, and you can call it down in prayer on the job or in your home or anywhere you are. It's incorporated in this Holy Ghost experience right now. He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Somebody say, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, he's my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I will trust. His truth shall be my buckler and my shield. I won't be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. Touch somebody by you and say, you don't have to be afraid. You have to loose that spirit that's on the inside. I want you to stand with me tonight. I want somebody to begin to loose that right now. Just begin to loose that Holy Ghost that's in you right now. I want you to think about your problem. And I want you to think about the thing that's warring against you, the thing that you're burdened for, and the thing that you're troubled about. And I want you to begin to let God prophesy through your vessel right now. That would be right now. Lift up your voice. That would be right now. Go ahead and begin to let God flow through you. Now, some of you need to begin to walk up and down in it. You're making do that in your prayer. But you might need to actually do some walking. I don't know. Y'all know what you're doing? Well, do it. Come on, talk in tongues. Come on, let that flow right now. Come on, this is the school of the prophets. Let's practice. Come on, let's practice.
To live right, power to pray right.
Come on, walk up and down in it.
Life changing power.
You know how to use it.
Delivery power. Chain breaking power. Wonder working power. Demons open power. Healing power. Delivering power.
The children talk in
tongues.
Let the sons and the daughters prophesy. Let the young men prophesy. Let the elders prophesy.
Holy Ghost power, sanctify power.
living waters flowing out of your vessel. Living waters flowing into the city. Prophecies moving on your backslidden children. Prophecies moving on your neighborhood right now.
Your power. Lord, send it down. Lord, send it down. Send down the power. The power that we need. Lord, send your power. We need your power. Power to walk right. Power to talk right.
Gonna give you power.
Praise God. Now, this is like a workshop, but what's going to sustain you and make a difference in your experience is going to be when you build this into process. Has to be purposed, has to be intentional. So tomorrow is Monday, 16 November. 2020, and Corona thinks she owns us. But I want you, when you get up a little early tomorrow to pray, I want you to make sure that you have a season of tongue talking in that time of prayer. And those of you that have a commute to work or to school, I want you to talk in tongues. Turn the radio off. Talk in tongues all the way across town, from wherever you live to wherever you work or go to school. Just talk in tongues. And just now, don't worry about what people think, because everybody looks like they're talking to themselves or Elvis or something now, because everybody's talking on their hands free. So you just break loose in your car and you just start talking in tongues. Now I want you to know, when you do that, living water is going to spring up in you, flow out in your city, and answers are going to begin to move, and demons are going to begin to quake, and fresh vision and revelation is going to begin to move in your life and in your ministry. I'm just telling you, make some time for tongue talking when you break for lunch. Now, Paul says if you eat lunch with somebody else, don't do that, because they'll think you're a barbarian. But if you're eating by yourself, go ahead and pray over your food. Spend a little time talking in tongues, because you don't know what's in that place or what God may radiate out and do there. But let prophecy flow. All I'm telling you is, let's talk in tongues more. Let's prophesy more. Let's amp the thing up a little bit. Let's add a little more intensity to it, and let's just see what God will do. Praise God. Right now, I want you to lay your hand on somebody by you, and I want you to talk in tongues for them for just a little bit here before we go. Power. 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 Power to walk right. Power to talk right. Devil chasing. Chain breaking power. Praise God. We're going to have a great week. God's going to do great things. We're looking forward to great revival next Sunday with Brother Mark Dross. Lord bless you. Thank you, youth choir.